Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be a mixture of clouds and sun. Cooler, we'll have a high near 70. Right now in Kenosha, 62 degrees. It's 64 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 62, 61 in Racine. It'll likely be sometime this afternoon before about 4,900 We Energy's customers in the Burlington area get their power restored. Utility spokesperson Amy Johns indicating the problem, a flooded substation. Crews have not been able to access the site to determine the extent of the damage.
We are unable to go into the substation and begin cleanup activities at this time. We need to wait for those waters to recede a little bit to see how much damage was caused by that water, just for a safety precaution and issue.
She said the company has moved a mobile transformer into Burlington, trying to restore some power there as quickly as possible. We Energy is continuing to warn people affected by the flooding not to enter flooded areas of their homes and businesses without first having the power shut off to avoid the possibility of electrocution. Two Burlington disaster recovery sites operated by the Racine County Human Services Department opened up yesterday. WRJN's Janet Hoff with details.
Western Racine County residents affected by the flood and currently receiving food share can apply for emergency food share to replace food that was lost due to the flooding and power outages. The sites at Gateway Technical College at 496 McKenna Parkway and Gooseberries at 690 West State Street will be open today until 4 p.m. Those affected by the flooding will also be able to apply for unemployment insurance, can access computers, and receive information on other disaster recovery services. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Racine County flood damage is to be reported by calling either 211 or toll-free to 866-211-3380. The Red Cross has the emergency shelter set up at Burlington High School on McKenna Parkway. Love Incorporated in Burlington had to throw out a bunch of donated goods because it was flood damage, but the organization is still open. It is still offering help to others in need. Caitlin Kreft is with U.S. Cellular, says they are offering people the chance to drop their phones off to charge while they go shopping. A few stores are still open. They've got power. Afterward, they'll provide a wall charger or vehicle charger to those who had their phones charged up. Rowdy's donating some 5,000 gallons of water, also providing food to members of the National Guard on scene. They're helping to keep the peace and enforce the curfew. Unemployment insurance benefit applications for anybody who maybe lost work due to the flooding and the power outage, they can be done online, dwd.wisconsin.gov/UIBEN. Well, first it was Governor Walker and State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss yesterday, and then came Congressman Paul Ryan. All of them looking at and reacting to the flood damage in Burlington, coupled with the loss of power affecting the lives of so many.
The biggest thing that stood out to me is this, the magnitude. I've heard 12 inches rain in 6 hours. That's the biggest surprise, the amount of rain in the short period of time that occurred and how that came out is such a surprise. So you get that kind of rain in that short of time, and I'm really impressed and surprised that no one was hurt and we have not had any loss of life. I chalk it up to the first responders and to the people responding quickly and appropriately. So I'm just thankful that we have not had any loss of life.
The Janesville lawmaker saying that safety still is paramount as the water recedes and the damage can be assessed to determine if state and or federal help can become available. The Speaker of the House, sidestepping one reporter's question about a non-flood related topic, said the priority is what's happening in Burlington as well as in western Kenosha County, where the governor declared states of emergency. Speaking of Kenosha County, the flood damage there can be reported by calling 262-605-7020 or with an email to disaster@kenoshacounty.org. The Red Cross providing disaster relief services to people in Kenosha County. The phone number, 800-236-8680. Some of Kenosha's bulky waste regulations for curbside pickup are going to be eased through July the 21st. Additional pickup needs require contacting the city's Public Works Department at 653-4050. The type of waste will have to be identified. You'll remember the city of Kenosha first got hit hard with heavy rains earlier this week. Salem Lakes, meanwhile, has scheduled a special pickup for damaged items next Monday and Tuesday. That's garbage and flood damage materials. And sandbags are available at the Kenosha County Gravel Pit on Highway C west of Wilmot, past the high school ball diamonds. Despite an arrest being made, no charges were filed Thursday by the Racine County District Attorney's Office in connection with the death Wednesday of a 3-year-old child at a home on Racine's southeast side. Police indicating that a person of interest in the death of Jeremiah Pitts had been taken into custody and that recommended charges were being forwarded to the DA's office. The child had been shot, according to police, and his body found in the upper unit of a home on House Street. Meanwhile, as they do for all violent deaths in the community, the Racine Interfaith Coalition, led by the Reverend Tony Larson, will hold a prayer vigil for Jeremiah Pitts Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, and July the 16th outside that residence in the 1800 block of House Street. The public welcome to attend and to participate. A Western Racine County man is jailed for allegedly stabbing a camper in Fox Lake, Illinois. Tony Ozanik of Wind Lake facing multiple charges, including aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. He's accused of stabbing a man in the leg following an early Wednesday morning argument at the Chain of Lake State Park campgrounds. The victim taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Meanwhile, Ozanik is being held in the Lake County Jail. It's a project to improve the water quality in Quarry Lake, and it's not quite where Racine County officials hoped it would be at this point, but the County Board's Public Works, Parks, and Facilities Committee was told last night progress is being made. A UW Parkside professor and a couple of his students proposed creating floating islands with plants that would help to filter the water. Dave Prattis, Racine County's Highways and Parks Superintendent, told the committee those two islands that should be placed in the lake in the next few weeks are going to be made out of 180 milk crates.
These islands are going to be made out of sections. So it's a 4x8 section. They're put together with milk crates. And then plants go within the milk crates. And what the plan is, and when I say there's going to be two of them, they're going to be fairly large. So there are going to be five of these sections. Basically, they just tie them together with plastic ties.
He told the committee that some old signs at the park have been replaced as well. Plot mentioning that there have been some issues with the sewer lift station at the park, so portable toilets are going to be put in place for this weekend in case those are needed. Said they should have an update on the water quality projects for their next meeting in August. The 2018 provider of management services for the city of Racine's three golf courses, looking at facility improvements, reviving the use of Shoop Park, and bringing the all-important paperwork process into the computer age. At the Park and Rec Board meeting this week, PRCS Director Tom Molbeck explained how Danville, Indiana-based Green Golf Partners was a better fit for Racine than the other proposal from a larger, more well-known company.
The committee that was put together thought that both of them were capable of doing the job. Billy Casper one was more of a bigger company that was had more golf courses under him, more of a corporate kind of setting, and Green Golf seemed to be more kind of homey to us, and I think that was the one that really caught us.
City Finance Committee backed the new company, which filtered through the council back to the Park and Rec Board and is now going back to Alderman with unanimous support. And the Racine Council's Committee of the Whole is scheduled to meet again next Tuesday at 6 p.m. ahead of the regular business meeting on the implementation first of an employee study compensation plan, but also to discuss dates for a special mayoral election. This is John Dickert's last weekend as mayor after 8 years, and while there's a city ordinance on replacing the mayor based on past history, current council president and acting mayor-to-be Dennis Weiser tells WRJN News there's also a conflict with state law, which means November 7th, which was discussed, apparently not going to happen.
We were initially going to shoot for November 7th for the special election because that, in other years, would have been a normal election day. There's some contradictions in the state law that won't allow us to use November 7th, so we're going to have to shop around a little bit.
The problem has to do with the required primary election date and a certain number of days from the general election. Meanwhile, once Weiser's time as acting mayor is over after about 3 months, he plans to be back full-time as 10th District Alderman, unlike when Tom Friedel agreed to become the acting mayor back in 2009, but for a longer stint. Weiser telling us that there's nothing in the rules to prohibit him from giving up the mayor's position to the election winner and then going back to being the alderman of the district. But for those 3 months, he'll be doing both jobs.
It's only going to be for 3 months, though, so I don't anticipate a problem there.
Current change of power officially happens at midnight Sunday. Dennis Weiser will take the oath of office for mayor Monday morning at 8. The council, for its Tuesday night Committee of the Whole meeting, will have to designate someone as its group leader to replace Weiser, who is also currently council president. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.